Here's a thought about the criteria for which is best. And here's the scenario I'm thinking about. You found an interesting subject with some really interesting light, and you made a dozen or so captures, and you hope one of them will produce a terrific image. Well, that's not quite exactly the personal dilemma I'm facing now, because I don't have a dozen or so images. But now that I've returned from my trip to photograph the fall leaves in Colorado, I have 987 images, all of which are perfectly sharp, perfectly exposed, wonderful images. Not all of them can be winners. So I'm starting to go through them and determine which ones I want to keep, which ones I want to do something with. In other words, which ones are the best ones that will take me to the next step, whatever that is. But here's the question. When you look at a big pile of images like that, how do you determine which one is best? If one of those is going to get printed and framed and hang above the fireplace, which one? And what criteria do you use to determine that that one is best? So I'm looking at all my images and I'm thinking, well, it's got to be a function of light, or capturing the moment, or composition, or the perfect set of clouds. Again, the criteria is, how do I choose which one is best? It's a bit of a mystery. And then it dawned on me that that spawns an even more fundamental question. Why should I determine which one is best? That determination is a function of the fact that I'm thinking that one of them gets selected and printed and frame and hang on the wall, and that criteria for finding one image is a completely different way of thinking compared to trying to put together a project of images. And that project of images still might go on the wall as a grid or as a wall gallery display with a dozen images or something. But suddenly, when I start thinking in terms of groups, my criteria changes dramatically. Because now I want to make sure that I have images that don't duplicate each other. I want to make sure I have images that represent the various characteristics of the subject, as well as maybe different clouds, different times of day, morning, evening, that kind of thing. Putting together a group requires a completely different criteria than selecting the one that's best. Now, obviously, and of course, these aren't mutually exclusive ways of thinking about a project like this. There might be one or two that I want to frame and hang on the wall. There might be 20 that I want to put together in a PDF. But even so, do you see how that still harkens back to the question about the criteria I use to edit from 980-some-odd images down to a dozen, or 20, or one. Notice also that I may have pulled the wool a little over your eyes by focusing our attention on criteria based on the subject, the light, the clouds, etc., rather than on my internal processes, my feelings, my emotions, my reactions, something that might turn this project into a personally expressive bit of artwork, rather than simply capturing a beautiful scene. If I start thinking about my internal motivations, then the criteria for which is best, or at least which gets used, shifts entirely. Matter of fact, the case could be made that the strongest graphic and visual image shouldn't be in a project because it'll overpower all the others and might tend to make all the others look, what, weaker? Not as good as? Which is not what you want when you're creating a project. You want all the images in the project to contribute, maybe not perfectly equally, but you don't want huge disparities, because you don't want someone to look at one of the images and say, well, that's a loser, I wonder why they included that one in the project. So again, it seems fairly obvious that the criteria can change based on the eventual output and what it is that you're creating. Where this process approaches quicksand that I think we all need to avoid is, which of these pictures looks the best by comparison to all the other pictures we've seen from other photographers throughout history? This becomes more apparent when you go to some famous place that's been heavily photographed, like Yosemite. If you consider the criteria for which is best because it's the most like Ansel Adams' photographs of Yosemite, then that's the least personally expressive version you can choose. It seems to me that particularly in this era of photography, when we're able so successfully to make so many pictures that are technologically great, that we can make prints fairly easily, that this business about the criteria that we use for editing is really at the heart of the matter now, because we have to do far more editing than our ancestors in photography had to do. We're presented with hundreds of really terrific-looking, technically excellent photographs. So the editing and the next step would be the sequencing process become more important than ever. And no doubt something that all of us contemporary photographers need to consider more critically, more carefully, more in depth, and not just fall into the habits of our ancestors and what we may have learned in our earliest days of photography, because that criteria for which is best may no longer apply, or it may not lead us to where we need to be led in light of today's photography and the variety of methods that we now use to share our photographs with others.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.